There we go, everyone. We are back again for another fantastic conversation on Friday Night Counterattack. Today, you are here to listen to our show on the all-time Premier League relegated 11. And this is a topic we've been building up for the last 3.5, 4 years of doing the podcast, because we needed a really good way of doing this. And I think I found the perfect way of doing the all-time relegated Premier League 11. It's going to be a draft. We've been so keen on drafts this season and last season, but especially this season. We've had some amazing guests on who have been fantastic at making drafts in so many different topics. And today, we're no exception as well. So inviting my two special guests today, introducing someone who basically wouldn't really want Erik ten Hag to be part of a relegation side so he could laugh at him even further. It's definitely going to be someone who, if he wasn't at Man United, he would be managing Sheffield United, because at the time of speaking, it's not looking good, bruv, for Manchester United. But maybe when this comes out, it will be a lot better. Introducing Traps.mufc to our show today. Traps, it's good to have you back on, my friend. You have been killing it with drafts all season long. How are you doing, my friend?
Yeah, I'm all good, man. It's a pleasure being here, as usual, with you and the wonderful other guy, the Op.
The Op is here as well. We've got one Op today, not two, so it's good to see. Before we get on to the Op, how was it going to Burnley recently and going to Manchester? Did you get to enjoy your time up north as well? It was good to see you out and about. You're outside, which is quite fun.
Yeah, I went and watched the other Ops as well. They weren't that good, to be fair, but I enjoyed it because it wasn't that great. It was a draw. Yeah, man, it's good to get about the country, see the different cultures, different people. I'm all about that, man. So yeah, man, it's been an eventful week, but it's been an enjoyable one.
Nah, I'm glad to hear it. It's nice to see. We need someone who needs to be a bit more spontaneous with travelling up the country as well. And I think we've got that guy who's also part of this panel today. So introducing Matthew from the Back of the Net podcast. It's good to have you on, Matthew. Like I said before, all season long, I think I would score many, many penalties against you. You have to challenge me at a game of rather a crossbar challenge or a penalty shootout, whatever we're doing. I'm looking forward to seeing what we've got coming up soon. But Matthew, it's good to have you back on. How are you doing today? And are you ready for the relegation draft that you think you're so confident with this season around?
Nice to be on. You know what it is? I'm just tired of winning the drafts and that. So, but
one vote out of 20, and that one vote was you.
Now listen, this draft is a defo winner. Yeah, those of you watching, I want all the comments supporting Matt one, because you know about me, bro. I'm winning this. Traps knows already. Look, he's got the face of someone that's given up already. Come on.
I mean, I'm not too sure. Has he even won a draft yet? I'm
sorry. He hasn't.
Why are you not?
He's not won a draft at all. He genuinely hasn't won a draft. Like, unless, like, honestly, on social media from our pages, it's like Traps has won the first one that we posted, the European one, and then we did another one, and then we've got two that haven't been released. This is going to be the second that have not been released yet. But the other one that we did, again, like Traps and me were level, and Matthew was just like down there. And I'm like, this is crazy. The rest we did lists as well. So in fairness, the list was something that we all agreed on as well, which is crazy.
Oh, so basically, he's trying to speak it into existence, man. I hear that.
It's trying to manifest it. So I'm looking at it.
I'm looking at it
and I'm thinking, good for you, Matthew. We need you to manifest something. But I think you'd rather... I think you want to manifest rather an Arsenal trophy more than a win on drafts. I think Matt would rather take a draft win than an Arsenal trophy in real life, which is, no, Matthew, don't do this to me. It's just a small trophy from what, 2004. I'm pretty sure like so many people weren't even born in 2004 that do content creation now, which is crazy to think about it in a perception like that. But onwards with the show, we are doing an all-time relegation draft, and what that means for the audience, if you can play along as well, we are going to do a 4-4-2 system of all the best players that got relegated with their respective teams. So it could be, for example, a player who was at the end of his career and he was with another team, and he may be one of the best players in the country, but he was at a team at the time that got relegated. So as long as they were in that team, that squad that got relegated, they are eligible to be part of this team for your all-time Premier League relegated draft. And there are some fantastic names that we've got in here as well. We are going to do a wild card, and I thought, you know what? I did the spin the wheel earlier, so unfortunately, Traps, Matthew won the spin the wheel whilst we're waiting, so Matthew gets first pick, which is not great at all. So without further ado, everyone, here we go with our all-time Premier League relegated draft. Matthew, if you had to pick a player from any position on the pitch, to put into your team, numero uno, who is your first pick and why?
Oh, okay. Pressure now. I'm going to go... Sure. I'm going to go striker.
Ooh. Striker original. Original. Okay. I like it.
I'm going to go striker. Can I just ask a question? You know the form? Are we basing on the form of them at that team or them in general? Because I was thinking about it when I picked these players.
Honestly, because it's a draft and it's going to be something that people will look back on as well, we are going to do it on their all-time form. Because if we did it in like their younger days or their twilight years, I'm not going to be able to like really care about it as well. If it's going to be their all-time form, we have to go, oh, that guy got relegated. I had no idea. That's the kind of vibe I'm going for today as well. So by all means, so, their all-time form.
All-time. So all-time form, I'm going to Michael Owen.
Oh, Ballon d'Or, Michael Owen. Who did he get relegated with? Because that's always going to be the question that we're asking. Newcastle United, yeah. Alan Shearer's manager.
Yes, and do you remember he blamed Michael Owen for it?
Blame Michael Owen. Anything but Alan Shearer. Alan Shearer could get a club relegated and still be cheered off the pitch, which is crazy to think about. How Alan Shearer's got that much clout in Newcastle was uncanny as well. And then afterwards, Traps, Michael Owen ended up leaving Newcastle for free for Manchester United. And that was the season where he scored that winning goal against Manchester City, the hat-trick against Wolfsburg. He had a decent first season at Manchester United as well. My question to you, Traps, because we mentioned Michael Owen and he's one of the best players to ever get relegated, would you put him in your top 10 Premier League strikers of all time?
No.
Ooh, why? What are we going for in terms of not?
I just think Michael Owen's career, I mean, when he first started at Liverpool, yeah, he was blistering. And then it sort of went a bit weird. Then he disappeared to Madrid. Then he came back and I just don't think Michael Owen, even though he won the Ballon d'Or when he was quite young and whatnot, he just never, ever got to where he should have been. And I think realistically, it's probably down to injuries.
Mm.
So, yeah, for me, Michael Owen just didn't do enough. But at the same time, it wasn't his opportunity. It wasn't his fault, if it makes sense. But he just didn't have enough of a career to put him in the top 10, man.
Nah, I agree with that one as well. Matthew, agree or disagree? Do you think Michael Owen deserves to be in the top 10 of Premier League strikers of all time? Or would you say no thank you for Michael Owen?
Do you know what? I'll maybe just keep him out because I'm a Robbie Fowler over Owen type of guy, though, to be honest. I love Robbie
Fowler. Okay.
Yeah, but even I put Owen in this draft, I know. But I'll just put him outside because, you know what? I feel like there's some other strikers that don't get a lot of respect. I don't think Andy Cole gets enough respect at all. Like, for what he did. His goal scoring, unbelievable. I think Jermaine Defoe as well was another one. Look at me talking. Let me stop talking, actually.
Giving us ideas here, ladies and gentlemen. I'm loving it.
Yeah, I see Traps looked at his paper and that now. But, yeah, I think, yeah, Owen outside of that just. But, yeah, he's a quality striker, but I just thought his others better than him.
Nah, it's all good. I'm liking that conversation. And Michael Owen makes it into the draft for Matthew. Matthew and Traps, as always, make a note of your teams and we'll make a conversation at the end for our 4-4-2 formations at the end for our teams. Traps, you're up next, my friend. I was actually third of a four, but the fourth person didn't join us today, unfortunately, as well. So Traps, by all means, you're second. First choice, wild card, anywhere on the pitch. Where are you going with your all-time relegated player in the Premier League, Traps? Where are we going?
Yeah, I'm looking at the midfield, and I'm looking at the goalkeeper, and I feel like the goalkeepers that I've seen come across that have been relegated, 90% of them are trash.
Yes, they are like mid-2000s mid-table teams, and you're like, so don't really miss much from it.
So do I go for? Do I go for the goalkeeper? Because you got to start, that's the strong base. Or do I go for the powerhouse in the midfield?
If I want to sabotage you, I would say go for the goalkeeper. But you know more than anyone, Traps. When you do a draft, it's the wild card, then the goalkeeper. So you can kind of risk it if you need to. But if you want to go for the base of the midfield and you want to drop a bombshell and you want to talk about a player you think deserves to be in your team as a wild card, that's the way I would go. Matthew, what do you think? Goalkeeper or midfield? Where should Traps go?
Goalkeeper.
Goalkeeper it is. Let's hear it, Traps. Unless he flips it.
Nah, I listen. That was this. What Matt tried to do there was tactical, man. Yeah, it's very tactical what he tried to do there.
Honesty is the best policy from
me. That was a nice try. It was very tactical. So I'm gonna go for Keane.
Roy Keane relegated with Nottingham Forest.
Trax is a smart man. I hear it. I see it.
I'm going to go for Roy Keane. Because you know why, yeah? Because you know why? When I think about Keane, right? And I think about the goalkeepers that we've had. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? We've had the, the Barthez is running about and that and other things. You know what I mean? It did kind of matter because we went through a spell of goalkeepers where we had to struggle to replace Schmeichel. And to be honest with you, what should have really happened was that we should have just got Van der Sar from the minute Schmeichel left, to be honest. That should have been the case, and we would have had him, we would have been sweet for obviously whenever Van der Sar retired. Mm. But yeah, for me, Roy Keane, yeah, all these boys, yeah, you have to remember Roy Keane's played with like Ferguson's son and that, you know what I mean? Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like,
Jordi Cruyff, he played with Jordi Cruyff.
He will be my captain and he will get the best out of these boys in this draft. He'll get the best. So he's going in the middle. He's going in the middle for me, man. The captain for me as well.
What a player he was. I'm seeing so many people these days disrespect Roy Keane for what kind of player he was. But when you look at the player Roy Keane was in the 90s, he was one of the most sought-after midfielders in world football. His technical ability was off the charts. He was someone who literally buzzed around Old Trafford. He would not leave a blade of grass untouched every single game. And for Roy Keane, that was the absolute minimum as well. When you're looking at Roy Keane on the football pitch, he was fearsome. He was someone that you had to be afraid of when you're looking at him in the tunnel as well. And nowadays, annoyingly, people just see him for the memes on Sky Sports and on football media as well, which is not the pleasant way of looking at Roy Keane. And all people look at now is, oh, he's bitter about Sir Alex Ferguson. And that, for me, that really, really annoys me. I think he's one of the top five Premier League midfielders of all time, in my opinion as well. Matthew, what would you say to that? What's your thoughts on Roy Keane, being an opposition fan as well?
Nah, I've always been a big fan of Roy Keane. I feel like when you have a captain, I don't know, I'm very fussy about the position that they play. People like having captains that are strikers. I feel there's something about having a centre-back or a certain midfielder as a captain. And I feel like he just drives his team. And I always go back to it, that performance against Juventus, that away, yes, and the Dele Alli. He drove that team forward. And I feel like when you have that type of captain, you can always win games. Doesn't matter who you're playing against. And the battles of him and Vieira, and he was the only other captain that I feel got under Vieira. I feel like Vieira didn't mind playing against others. He kind of had the upper hand. But I remember, Highbury, I'll see you out there on the pitch. Like that little thing there. And I just remember he bossed it. I bossed it that day. You look calm. Black kid comes to the Highbury and just laid it down on us. But yeah, quality midfielder. He's one of them. He doesn't get enough credit, as you said. When you talk about the best list, he's never really in there. Everyone talks about Scholes and this player and that. But Roy Keane should definitely be up there.
Nah, it's true. And Traps, like you said as well, he did play with a lot of duds in that midfield as well. He had to partner the midfield with Cleberson and Eric Jemba-Jemba, and they didn't really settle into that midfield as well. It didn't really work out for him. Eventually, he had to leave for Celtic. But what do you think his lasting legacy on the Premier League will be? Will it be more the fact that he was a top-level Premier League midfielder, or is it more along the lines of that the new work on Sky Sports is kind of hindering his legacy in a way? What do you think, Traps?
I mean, at the end of the day, like, you have to remember, Keane is forever immortalized in history at Man United, regardless of what went on. You know what I mean? So he obviously, I think I remember how many leagues it was, was it six or seven?
Six leagues.
Treble. We won the treble. For me, obviously, he's a big character. So obviously, people see him on Sky Sports, he's a likable character, the things that he says. The thing about Keane, he was very honest on the pitch and off the pitch, and sometimes it's got him into trouble in his career. But to be honest with you, Keane will forever be one of the Premier League greats.
I would say so as well. Again, Premier League great. It's going to be someone that, if he's not in the Hall of Fame for the Premier League already, he will be in the Hall of Fame, and he will be someone that will be basically just appreciated for what a talent he was. And annoyingly, a lot of casual fans, for me, they still look at him as like, oh, he just had passion and aggression. I'm like, no, when you watch the boy play, he was balling out. One of the best players ever to come from the Republic of Ireland, in my opinion as well. So Roy Keane makes it into our draft, ladies and gentlemen. And this is where I am stuck. I am dumbfounded with who I've got to pick, because do I go for a player that I really want to go for? Or do I have to play tactical with this one? More times than not, as you guys know, and as the listeners know as well, I'll always go for the player that I want to pick for the sake of picking, because I'm like, oh yeah, I like this guy. But I have to play tactical, because you two have picked, in my opinion, two players who reach world-class levels. Roy Keane and Michael Owen definitely did. So I think I've got to go for someone who I believe has also hit world-class levels and potentially was one of the best ever players we've ever seen in the Premier League. He didn't have a nice time leaving the Premier League at QPR. He didn't have a nice time defending with Ryan Nelson at the back. Ladies and gentlemen, Rio Ferdinand is entering the draft for me. And that's the first time I've ever picked a defender as a wild card. So it's not really wild, but Rio Ferdinand getting relegated for QPR was wild as well. A season after leaving Manchester United, I think he was playing under Harry Redknapp, I think, at QPR. And it just didn't work out for Rio Ferdinand or anyone at QPR at all in that season. And it was really embarrassing for him to come back to Manchester United as a QPR player with all the years of service, all the amazing achievements that he won as well, the last minute goal against Liverpool, all these amazing memories that Rio Ferdinand created, and he was then paraded as a QPR centre-back, losing 4-1 or 4-0 in that game where Di Maria just ran riot, which is crazy to think about. But Rio Ferdinand makes my draft as well, and Rio Ferdinand is obviously quite popular in football media now at the moment with his Five channel and all the takes that he has on BT Sport as well. But I'm going to remember him for what the player he was. Someone who was very technical on the ball. Someone who, in a way, was ahead of his time in England. And now a lot of players play like Rio Ferdinand in the fact that they can bring the ball out from the back. They can play off both feet. They can basically just give a defender, an attacker, a yard or two and still catch up to him running back as well. But yeah, Rio Ferdinand was fantastic. And I definitely think he was a world-class centre-back as well. Matthew, what do you think about Rio Ferdinand? What's your thoughts?
Again, quality defender. For me, he did well at West Ham. Leeds was the time when I was like, this guy is serious. Because I remember that Leeds, part of that Leeds team, he was a boss at the back. I can't remember who his partner was. Was it Lucas Radebe? I can't remember who he had next to him.
Probably, yeah. It was.
And then, honestly, that team was just solid. And even just seeing the way he used to play, like he used to get the ball, he'd bring it out from the back. At that time, I don't think it was too many defenders that were doing that. And he was one of the first that I saw do that. And he just went from strength to strength. Joined Man United and, again, was phenomenal. He was part of that great United team and someone that Fergie could depend on. Obviously, the QPR move was a bit of a weird one. But
I personally think he should have moved abroad, in my opinion. I really thought it would have been nice to see him. Like when Vidic went to Inter Milan, it would have been cool to see Rio Ferdinand in La Liga or Serie A, one of these different slower leagues as well, but having a bit of an opportunity to play with some other great players. But he settled for London. And I was like, I don't get that at all. I know he may have used family reasons for it, but for me personally, play a year abroad, it would have been so cool to see a Rio Ferdinand bossing it in Italy or Spain at the time as well. And especially when Spain was at its height in Serie A in La Liga, they were at their height with El Clasico every single season being like a superstar match as well. He definitely could have fit into one of those teams, in my opinion anyway. Traps, what do you think about Rio Ferdinand? Let's see your thoughts.
Rio Ferdinand was an outstanding defender. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not the biggest fan of his takes.
Me neither. Sometimes it's best to remember them as a player.
But as a Man United player, yeah, brilliant. As a Leeds player, yeah, he was the leader of the new age sort of centre-back. He wasn't my favourite. Vidic was always... Vidic was the guy for me. He was the all-out... You know what I mean? He was the action man, you know? Ferdinand was the cool, calm and collected. Keep it cool. Get the ball out. Get the ball. Start the attack off. Build the attacks. He was that guy. Vidic was the you come in the box, you're getting smashed. That's my kind of defender at the end of the day. But Rio Ferdinand, good player, great player, great defender. And I mean, looking at the options, I feel like that was a very good tactical choice.
I have to play tactical today. I'm up against two of the best players of football drafts I've had this season as well. So I've got to give you guys the respect and the props that you deserve as well. But we'll stick with the order of... Yeah, Traps, go ahead. First choice goalkeeper. Where are you going with this one?
I'm going Julio Cesar.
Julio Cesar. Oh, the treble winner of Inter Milan. Again, we're looking at this super, unsuper team from QPR as well. Again, for all the players that they had, this is going to be crazy nostalgia going back at this QPR team. Talk to us about Julio Cesar and what a fantastic keeper he was at Inter Milan and for Brazil, and not so much at QPR when you saw him in the Premier League traps.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, when he came to QPR, it was the end of his in the end of his sort of career.
Payday.
He got relegated with them. But his career that he had, obviously, treble winner Inter Milan. Did he win some international trophies as well? I'm sure he did.
He may have won a Copa America, but I think he was backup keeper still as well. I think at the time to Dido, it was Copa America.
But I mean, he had a fantastic career, man. And but obviously, again, like I said, looking at the goalkeepers that we have, it was either him or another one. And the other one, for me, you remember the famous free kick. So for me, Julius Caesar is, I wouldn't say he's the best of a bad bunch, because Julius Caesar was an outstanding goalkeeper. He was another one that had he had a bit of personality on the pitch. He would rile players up. He would say stuff. He was a bit of a shit house, to be honest. You know what I mean? But
he could play out from the back as well.
And he could play out from the back. Yeah. So like I said, these are like the forgotten guys of football and what they did for football, because people think that the newer goalkeepers are the ones that sort of pioneered this new style. But these ones were the guys that showed the attributes in the first place. So yeah, Julio Cesar for me, man. He's a good goalkeeper.
Nah, it's good. I'm liking this one as well. It's like today I had a comment saying, "Oh, Alisson's better than Petr Cech," and you're like, are you serious?
Yeah.
It's a bit crazy right now. Matthew, first choice goalkeeper. Where are you going with your first choice goalkeeper? And for someone who played in goal and plays in goal as well, you have a lot of pressure on this take, my friend. Where are we going with this one, Matthew?
So the goalkeeper I'm going with, I'm normally like a big and dominant goalkeeper, but this goalkeeper here, if you know ball, had in his era was one of the best shot stoppers I've ever seen.
Ooh, big height.
Used to play under Big Sam.
Oh, so he played under a big manager. Was he in a big team as well with big centre backs?
I don't know. Would you call them a big team? All in white. Are they North East?
Northwest.
Northwest, Bottom Runners.
Matt doesn't know geography.
Jussi Jaskalainen, man.
Okay.
Keeper. You know, we're all fans of our clubs. You know where sometimes them keepers have them wonderful games? You think, who is this guy? But he was doing it season in, season out. Phenomenal goal. Honestly, shot-stopping-wise, being a goalkeeper, I used to look up to keepers like him, the older ones, like Kevin Pressman, Russell Holt.
The ones that had the elbow pads on their shirt.
You know, like Nigel Martin, all them type of keepers. But no, Jussi was the one for me. Like, he wasn't the best of the ball at his feet like the keepers are now, but shot-stopping-wise, unbelievable. He's probably the first name on the team sheet for Sam Allardyce. And I'm sure you guys have seen some of the reels and saves that he's made with one in the past. But yeah, for me, Jussi's my goalkeeper.
I think it's fair to say that we've all watched Jussi Jaskalainen live. I think we're of that era where we watched Jaskalainen a lot on TV and on Match of the Day, the highlights, whenever it would come out as well, FA Cup games, especially for Bolton, and when they got to the League Cup final once upon a time as well against Middlesbrough. That was a big moment for Bolton Wanderers as well. But yeah, Jussi Jaskalainen, what a fantastic keeper. He was, I believe, is from Finland, and he was someone who represented Finland to the best of his ability and really put Finland on the map, because there are a few Finnish players in those early 2000s. That Mikael Forsell was another one as well, fantastic player, to watch was at Birmingham and Chelsea for a striker, and we don't really see as much anymore in the Premier League. So Jussi Jaskalainen, good choice there. Oh, I've not got a good list for goalkeepers. This is not me, so I'm gonna have to go for the best of a bad bunch, and I'm going to pick, this is like picking England keepers, I have not got a good selection. Oh no. I tried to look at who else I could have picked, and there's not much best I could go for. So without further ado, I'm going to have to go for David James. Go. I'm not going to say anything more on it. I'm just going to get out of the way. David James. Final answer. Other options, Ben Foster, Aaron Ramsdale, Robert Green. Nah, not it for me.
Paul Robinson.
Who did he get relegated with? Leeds.
I think it was Leeds. Yeah, he went down with Leeds, I think. And also, what about, what's his name? Nigel Martin, did he go down?
Nigel Martin went down with Leeds as a backup keeper, I believe. And then he went to Everton. He may have gone to Everton as well. So that might have been a thing. Everton,
what about, have never been... Pickford?
Pickford? Did he get relegated or did he move? I think he moved and that's why they got relegated. Because like Kasper Schmeichel as well. Kasper Schmeichel left Leicester and then that's when they went downhill.
Yeah,
and
it just wasn't
good for them as well. Sure. Tim Krul's another one as well with Norwich. But I'm like, nah, not a fan of Tim Krul. All he got was that Netherlands hype back in 2014 for coming on as a sub and saving in a penalty shootout. Not it for me as well. All right, that's it from goalkeepers. Traps, I'm so glad you didn't go for a goalkeeper. Just out of curiosity, who was your goalkeeper wildcard, or were you just trolling? What was your thought process behind that, Traps?
What do you mean? I didn't have a wildcard goalkeeper.
I knew.
Do I need to get my goalkeeper in now before I get stolen?
Who was that goalkeeper?
It was Cesar.
It was Cesar. That's fine. That's fine.
I said, you know, I looked at the goalkeeper list and I said, nah, I need to have him.
Like you said, the best of a bad bunch.
I was thinking along the same lines as you. I was thinking, is that him or David James for me? And I'm not really after that free kick, man. I know you shouldn't judge a man on one performance, but that free kick for me, I feel like that was just the end of David James. You know what I mean? Obviously, he was Liverpool as well. I was like, yeah, good, man. You know what I mean?
He won the FA Cup that season as well, Traps, when you think about it.
Yeah, he did.
And then you're looking at him and it's like, he's like one of the most famous goalkeepers of all time because of him standing in the goal like that after Ronaldo. It's like, well, what can I do after the Ronaldo rocket free kick as well? I'm more disappointed that Matthew didn't even back his boy, Aaron Ramsdale, the goalkeeper that got relegated twice with two different clubs in two different seasons as well. What is happening, Matthew? Back your boy. Where's this happening?
Now, he was on my list, but I grew up loving Yaskalan and Shea Given, them type of goalkeepers there. Like, they're my...
Did Given get relegated or was he at Man City at the time? What happened there?
I was freaking on that one, I know. I was like, what?
2009. I don't know what happened there.
To be fair, though, if we're talking about goalkeepers, I'm not talking about, obviously, the top goalkeepers, yeah?
Mm.
I didn't think Tim Krul was bad, you know. I don't think he was actually as bad as people make him out to be.
Did Fabianski get relegated with Swansea once?
Or did they buy him when they come up?
That's yeah. Because I know he was sold when they went down for West Ham.
They had Vorm, didn't they?
Michel Vorm as well. This is where it's all coming out now with all these goalkeepers as well. Holland had a few, Aston Villa didn't have great ones. Anyway, onwards with this one. We're starting from right back to left back. So first choice right back for me. I will go I'm not going to go on his Premier League form. Actually, no, I'm going to go for someone else. I'm going to be a bit boring with this one. Bit safe. Kieran Trippier, relegated with Burnley. So I'm going to go for Kieran Trippier, who then ended up at Atletico Madrid out of nowhere after playing at Tottenham, and he won the league. Yeah, he won La Liga with Atletico Madrid during lockdown after playing with Simeone. And from Sean Dyche to playing with Simeone. It's crazy to think about that rise of Kieran Trippier as well. So, yeah, happy with Trippier at right back. Matthew, first choice right back. Where are you going with this one?
I'm going to go Glenn Johnson.
I like that bit.
I think...
Portsmouth, you know, Glenn Johnson for me personally.
And to be fair, when he played under Mourinho, when he was one of the younger players then, he was solid in the right-back position.
He was backup right-back and he wasn't bad at all. You had Paulo Ferreira.
Who was quality. So, Glenn Johnson for me. And for what I'm trying with my team, I feel like he fits it perfectly. Good system. So, yeah, Glenn Johnson for me. I'm smiling because I knew his team's balling out already.
That's good to hear. Traps, first choice right-back, then your first choice centre-back. Where are you going with this one?
I'm going... Michel Salgado.
Jeez, did he get relegated with Blackburn? Was it?
He did.
I think he was at Blackburn. So yeah.
But did they get relegated when he was playing?
I don't know. Obviously, this is in your list.
Matthew compromises the list every single time we do this. So I'm making sure that is. See, look at him. Look at that face. He's going to shout out, Traps don't know ball. But if Traps has picked him, Matt, you don't know ball as well. So Blackburn, were they relegated? Let's see. Blackburn relegated 2012. Michel Salgado left before 2012. Matthew, you don't know football. Come on now. What are you doing? You're sabotaging your boyhood. Come on now.
I thought this is a great pick. This is slip past. Yeah, everyone's forgot about him. We forgot about Michel Salgado. Because obviously, it's based on their career. I'm thinking, yeah, he's won a few La Ligas with Madrid. He's got to be in there. And I thought, you know what? I've got away with one. And Matthew, thank you very much, for sabotaging my list. Yeah.
Matthew, do you even use Google when you look at these things? Or you're like, nah, Matt knows ball. I know about football. I'm putting my knowledge in.
That was so funny. I just remember him being at Blackbird, yeah, and I remember thinking, was it? I was like, I'm not just putting in anyway, but I'm not picking him. I'm going Glenn Johnson. But anyway, that's all right. Now Traps is struggling. We like that. I love this game. I love this game.
So do you know the funny thing is, Matt? Do you know the funniest thing? Salgado did get relegated. I want to see Matt squirm. I wanted to see Matt squirm. That's all I'm saying.
He did.
He did get relegated. So Traps, he got Salgado. Matthew wasn't even sure of his own self as well.
You know what? Because I remember he didn't play like it was like a couple of games. It wasn't like loads of games.
He was a backup right back. It's fine. I need to see Matt say it with chest. I needed to see that happen.
Hamza just loves to see it. Matt don't know who wants to come back. I see you.
That's cool. Nah, it's all good. But yeah, Michel Salgado, welcome to the draft. Traps talks to us about Michel Salgado, especially at Real Madrid, as opposed to his time at Blackburn Rovers, one of the most random clubs you could be playing for at the time in the Premier League.
The thing is with Blackburn Rovers, yeah, if you look over the history of Blackburn Rovers, they've had mad rumours. I'm sure Zidane was meant to end up there at one point.
Yeah. They got Tim Sherwood instead. Instead of going for Zidane, they went for Tim Sherwood.
And that 1995 team, let's not pretend that 1995 team, Graham Lasso, Chris Sutton, all these lot, that was a great team back at Blackburn. And they are Alan Premier League winners. They had Alan Shearer was in there as well. They are Premier League royalty as it stands. So yeah, I mean, not too much on Blackburn. Do you know what I mean? They're not what they used to be, but yeah, in their heyday, they had a moment where Blackburn were doing big stuff. So Salgado at Madrid, he was a right back for many years. He was for many years. I think he won about three or four La Liga titles.
And he was there during the Galactico era as well.
He was part of the Galacticos, yeah. He was part of the Galacticos. I just remember him. He used to have this long hair and this 100-yard stare, like, do you know what I mean? He was a really serious guy, you know what I mean? He was a serious right back, man. I wouldn't say he was one of my favourites, but to be fair, when did we play them? Was it 2001?
2002, 2003, and we played them in 2001 as well. We did. Yeah, I was on their way to the final.
I think it was 2001, yeah, and I think... Yeah, and obviously, I just remember, I think that's the first time I ever sort of laid eyes on him sort of thing. So I was like, yeah, this guy. And you know, like that time, the Galacticos, like, ooh, the Galacticos, these are the serious guys, you know what I mean? So, yeah, I had to put him in there, man, because he's definitely someone who played in a good team and had a good career.
Nah, nice shout as well for Michel Salgado. And your first choice centre-back, because remember, I picked a centre-back as my wild card in Rio Ferdinand. So where are you going for your first choice, Traps?
With the centre-backs, yeah. The centre-back for me, it's a bit of a sticky one, man. And I know Matt's sweating right now. Because
there's a lot of 70-rated centre-backs on this list. That's all I'm saying. If we're using FIFA terms, a lot of 70-rated centre-backs on this list. If you ask the rejects as well, so Matthew may have to pick a one or two from here, which would be funny to see.
I think, yeah, I'm just looking at the list right now, right? And I'm thinking, based on that list, I can't go off what I think. I need to go off of based off of careers. Mm. And I'm going to have to go with Nathan Ake, I think.
Ooh, you're not going to use him for left-back. You're going to use him for centre-back.
I'm going to have to use... I feel like I need to use him for something. And it's going to have to be... And looking at the list right now, I'm going to have to use him for centre-back.
Nathan Ake, welcome to the draft. That's a good pick as well. Nathan Ake is someone who's been fantastic. He got relegated with Bournemouth. And there's that time when Ole Gunnar Solskjaer went around... to Nathan Ake after that game in lockdown and had his arm around his shoulder. He's like, yeah, you can come and join us, Nathan. You'll have fun here. Didn't happen at all. And is a wonder kid at Chelsea, but he never really got to flourish at Chelsea and has been flourishing ever since at Manchester City, which is great to see. A proper Premier League stalwart when you think about it. Bournemouth, Man City, Chelsea.
Yeah, the reason why I said last season, Nathan Ake was one of the transfers of the season. Mm. And I say that is because Chelsea wanted to, they came in for him, sort of was that back end of the transfer window before the start of last season. And obviously he was blocked by City. And I feel like he's part to play in that treble winning team last season, because he really stepped up last season after. I feel like it was more of a thing like, they actually want me. So I want to play some ball. And he showed his qualities, and even still to this day, he still showed his qualities. So yeah, Nathan Ake for me, based off that list, he goes into my team, man.
Nicely done. It's a good pick for Nathan Ake as well. Someone who kind of stepped up when João Cancelo left for Bayern Munich last season and then left for Barcelona as well. So quality first team player for Manchester City, but was relegated with Bournemouth a couple seasons ago as well. Matthew, first choice centre-back, then second choice centre-back. Where are you going with this one?
So what I'm trying to do with my team, I've got a good, nice, compact right-back. I'm trying to do a solid Mourinho back four here.
Are you sure you're not going for a Big Sam back four? What are we thinking here?
I'm going to go for another Big Sam player.
Ooh. Okay.
Centre-back. Went to Russia. Yeah.
You're not going down that route, surely.
They went to Angie Maja, whatever you want to call him. Mr. Christopher Samba.
Again, relegated with Blackburn Rovers as well. Angie Machala.
He was one of them where he come to the Prem and it was like, you know, you always heard about physical players doing well in the Prem, but what he did at Blackburn, he was an absolute beast. I remember I was like, Arsenal, we need someone like him.
You were linked with like Hangeland and Samba like every other season, and you got Vermaelen out of nowhere, which is great.
Christopher Samba was an absolute beast at centre back. Quick, strong, scored a couple of goals here and there as well. And again, probably first in the team sheet for Big Sam at Blackburn. But yeah, that's the defense I'm going for. So Christopher Samba for me. I'm so happy with that. Look at the smile on my face.
There were some bigger names on this list, ladies and gentlemen. So we're going to have to wait and see who Matt goes for a second choice. Let's hear it, Matthew. Second choice centre back.
So the second choice, I like my centre back to be, I want a right foot and a left footed centre back.
Okay.
So this centre-back here I've gone for is a pundit now, Mr. Jolyon Lescott.
Do you think Jolyon Lescott's a good pundit?
No. No, but you know what? Again, he's the type of centre-back where, again, I don't think he gets enough flowers. I think he was a quality centre-back. When I look at him...
He wasn't at Aston Villa. Don't ask Aston Villa fans about Jolyon Lescott. That's all I'm saying, Matthew. Just don't let it happen.
Honestly, I think the guy was quality. And even, you know what? Even at City, he was doing good as well.
He was part of that title win inside. He was a centre-back partner for Vincent Kompany.
Yeah, very physical. Again, quick. Good centre-back. So, yeah, man. Samba and Lescott for me. That's my...
Where did Lescott get relegated?
Was it... Oh, my God. What team did he play for?
Exactly, Matthew. Educate the audience.
Wait. I just know he got relegated. Who the hell did he go down with? Come back to me at a later point. Matt knows.
No, we're not moving on until you get this. You're on the spot, Matthew.
Traps, do you know? I'm trying to... Who was it?
Traps says he gets the answer. It's fine. It's not his pick.
Who did he get relegated with?
Was it West Brom or something? I think it was something like that.
Do you know the teams that he's played for?
QPR. Has he played for QPR? No. West Brom. Is West Brom one?
Oh, this is painful. Are you going to admit Matthew doesn't know ball and then you can Google it?
No Google or nothing. It's one of them teams. I'm going to... Who did he play for? Okay, Villa he played for. Obviously, Man City. Am I bugging? I'm going to think... I think just remember West Brom. I might be wrong with that one. But yeah, go on. Who is it?
You got relegated with Aston Villa.
Was it Villa?
Yeah, man. I gave you the hint.
Who's the manager then at Villa then? Neil?
Who do they have? They had Steve Bruce. I think they had Steve Bruce at the time. Or they had someone where they just brought him in. And it was Tim Sherwood as like a backup and it didn't work out at all for him as well. They changed managers like 3-4 times that season. They were bugging Aston Villa. That's okay. Matt doesn't know football. We've got it. We've got one today, which is not bad at all. My partner for Rio Ferdinand in centre-back, I'm not going to mess about and I'm going to go for Lucas Radebe, Leeds United centre-back, who was an absolute baller. He was one of the best ever South African footballers we've ever seen in football. He was an immense monster as a player. He was one of the big reasons as to why Leeds United was so successful as a captain and as a leader at the back for Leeds United under David O'Leary as well in the late 90s and early 2000s as well. And the fact of the matter is Lucas Radebe was a baller, one of the most underrated centre-backs I've ever seen in the Premier League era as well. Full credit to you, Lucas Radebe. And you're going to be partnering Rio Ferdinand at the back and Kieran Trippier at right back. So, Traps, you went, were you going to be picking Lucas Radebe?
I was, yeah.
Oh, that's mad. May have stolen. I've stolen one person's pick today. But how are you going to combat this one as well? There's some good players, but a couple of duds on this list as well. And a current England manager as well. I'm not sure you're going to go that way.
Yeah, I mean, I could never give it to Southgate because Southgate, I told you already, Southgate was the first person to break my heart in football. Mm. So I can't give it to Southgate.
Penalties.
This list is trash, man.
It is a relegated list after all as well.
This list is absolute trash, mate.
I'm so glad I got Ferdinand first up. That's all I'm saying. I'm so glad I got Ferdinand first up. That was a crazy move for me.
You've got the other Ferdinand, the one that you know the discounted version.
You've got West Ham Ferdinand who's just going on about, oh yeah, my brother does this. I'm like, all right, cool. And then he's got his success from his brother in a way, from his media jobs that he gets now. He was not a great footballer, but he's a big leader apparently for Sunderland, according to his interview on Filthy Fellas as well. But are we going to put Anton Ferdinand in this list? Are you going to put him in your team draft? Not.
I think we are going to go with... We're going to have to go Robert Huth, mate.
That's not a bad one when you think about it.
Not a bad shout, but yeah.
Best of a bad bunch as well. You've got Colaccini, Matthew Upson, Winston Reid, Harry Maguire.
Nah, yeah. Just remember, Did he win the Premier League or something with Chelsea?
He won the Premier League with Chelsea and with Leicester.
And Leicester, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I'm looking at a basic career-wise again. Huth hasn't had a bad career for the defender that he is.
Mm.
So, yeah, Robert Huth. And you have to remember, Huth had his moment, he used to have that rocket toe, didn't he? Yeah.
He could launch it. He definitely could launch it, especially for Stoke as well. Huth and Shawcross was a partnership that you're like, you shouldn't really be fearing, but you were fearing them, especially with those long throws that they had in the corners. The set pieces were crazy from Rory Delap and from Stoke City at the time under Tony Pulis. Mm-hmm. Proper streets will never forget player, Robert Huth. But yeah, nicely done there with your centre-back partnership. And who's your first choice left-back, Traps? Where are you going with this one?
Left-back. I'm going Robertson, man.
Andy Robertson.
Yeah, I'm going Andy Robertson.
Can't argue with that at all. Matthew, first choice left back. Where are you going with yours? But only choice.
I went with, what did I write down? 1 second. Let me go to my list, the winning list. Oh, I've got two. I'm going to go with, I don't want to do it. Yeah, do you know what? I'll go with poor guy, man. Guy, John Terry did him dirty.
dear.
That's his intro to your team. The winning team. That's his intro. Come on, Matthew, show him some respect. Oh man.
Nah, you know what?
You can't listen. You can't have Wayne Bridge in your team and quit the winning team. He lost badly.
It's the Simps team if you got him in, Matthew. You can't be having that. Come on now.
That was a bad loss, man.
He lost more than his career after that. That's all I'm saying.
Do you know what? My other one, my main one I put in there, but do you know I'm gonna stick my first one? Mr. Ian Hart.
Who did he get relegated with? Leeds.
That's where he went down with Leeds. Yeah.
He was, again,
one of them players where I think that whole Leeds team had ballers and his set-piece deliveries. All right, he wasn't the quickest, but again, for what I've got with my team going here and I'm 4-4-2, Ian Hart's absolutely perfect. Good left-back, good competent left-back for me.
No, not bad at all. Don't mind that one at all. I'm not going to play unfair and put a right-back, left-back for the sake of it, so... Just to make up the back line. I was banking on Nathan Ake. Full honesty, I was going to go for Nathan Ake on this one. But I'm going to have to stick with Joe Bryan, the Fulham left-back, who's been pretty decent. Is a really good championship player. Not bad in the Premier League, but is the best of a worst bunch as well from all the left-backs I could think about as well. I could have put like Ricardo Pereira there as well. Actually, you know what? No, I can't change it now. That's not me. I would have put Luke Thomas there from Leicester, but I'm not going to do that. That would have been cheating, and we don't cheat because cheaters never prosper. Right then, I'm going to go for a 4-4-2 flat. So again, two centre midfielders, I'm going to stick with a 4-4-2 flat. So two wingers I'm going for as well. Right midfield for me, first choice pick. Oh, this is difficult. No, it isn't. It's not that difficult. If I had to go for a right winger, I'm going to go for Jadon Shaqiri, Stoke, Liverpool, inverted winger who could take you on both sides. Very good for Switzerland at the World Cup and the European Championships as well. Fantastic player to watch and a very enjoyable player to watch as well. Nice and easy for me. Matthew, No. Traps first, then Matthew. Traps. First choice right wing. Where are we going with this one? There's a B.
I'm gonna go Joe Cole.
Joe Cole at right wing. Oh. Oh no. I was hoping he was my left winger as well. Let's talk about Joe Cole.
You know what? Because I'm looking at it now and I'm thinking to myself, yeah, someone is going to grab him for the left wing. So you know what?
Matthew was going to pick him. You could look at that face and be like, oh, I had him in my team.
As you're talking, now I've got to edit that. I had to. Now I've got to re-edit it now. Thank you, Traps.
It's all good. Matthew, talk to us about Joe Cole and the impact he had on English football, because he stuck out like a sore thumb when he came through the academy at West Ham, and he looked someone so bright, but he just never fit into that England team because they never played to his strengths and there were bigger players around and bigger egos. But he always had to... It's like when Paul Scholes went out of the England team. He just had to sit it out in a way or then retire because it never really worked in his way. Let's hear your thoughts on Paul Scholes, Matthew, and then Traps. Paul Scholes, let's hear your thoughts on Joe Cole, Matthew, and then Traps.
They were so good at that time, that West Ham team had that young English core. Mm. And he was one of the academy players that come through. And he was one of the few players at that time doing the stepovers, doing skills, both footed, as I say,
roulette.
Exactly, could use both feet. Nifty player. And then he went to Chelsea, and he didn't look out of place at Chelsea. In a team where they were spending money on players, he was scoring big goals, very, very good player. And I feel like I wish he could have done more. He could have had a bit better career, 100%. But for England, he did his bit. Let's not forget that fantastic goal he scored. I think it was against Sweden. Am I right?
Yeah,
Cheston volley. So, yeah, quality player, man. I'm quite upset I didn't get him because he fitted my team so perfect. So that guy Traps over there, yeah, I'm not too keen on him at the moment. Wound up with that decision.
Traps, talk to us about why you picked Joe Cole and what he meant to you watching him from an opposition point of view as well. Remember, played for Liverpool, played for Chelsea, played for West Ham as well. What did you enjoy about Joe Cole the most?
I think Joe Cole got passed around a lot because I feel like a lot of managers understood his quality but didn't understand the player. And I feel like Joe Cole was one of them players that was unfortunate that no team was ever built around him. And if he was in a team that was built around him, you would have seen the heights of Joe Cole. Joe Cole had everything. So Joe Cole would have been, he would have been one of the world's elite. Had someone, one of the team, obviously, unfortunately for him, the teams at the time, there wasn't many elite teams at the time. I think there was obviously, Arsenal was on the decline. Chelsea had just obviously been taken over and he went there. United obviously was United. They was at the top of their game. And that was pretty much it. So for me, He needed a team that was going to build a team and say, right, you know what, Joe Cole, you're one of the star men. Team's getting built around you. You're going to get the goals. You're going to be the star man. And he would have flourished in that team. I just feel like he spent his career just going around. And by the time, I think, didn't he end up at Lille or something like that?
He did, playing with Eden Hazard.
He ended up at Lille, playing with Hazard and things like that. And yeah, so yeah, for me, I think Joe Cole was just a misunderstood player. He had all the qualities in the world, but it was just at the wrong time. I think if Joe Cole came into the game now with the attributes that he had now, he'd be a world star.
It actually still stand out as well, the quality that he had as well. And you're looking at the way people play now, they're all athletes and they're all athletic and fast and fantastic, which is fine, but you don't have that footballing aspect about you. And when you're looking at a pure footballer like Joe Cole was, he was a fantastic player to watch and to really appreciate him. You have to go and watch some of his highlights back as well for Chelsea, for West Ham, and like Matthew said, for England as well. That goal against Sweden was top notch when you're thinking about it as well, but... Annoying pick, but great pick nevertheless, Traps. Well done for picking Joe Cole as your right winger. And because it's now Matthew's turn for right winger, he also gets first choice pick for centre mid, which is not great. So right wing, then centre mid. Unless you're going for like four centre midfielders. Are you going to go for a flat four as well, Matthew?
I'm going to
go for a Mourinho type.
You know what? Because we can do the 4-4-2 in any dimension. Nah. I'm gonna have a base guy in my central midfield. Just a little shielding job.
I'm going to
give a clue to him now. My base guy can use both feet spraying the ball. Yeah, if you lot know ball, you two should know who that is. My right winger, I'm slightly unsure on him because I'm not too sure if he got relegated. His club got relegated.
Okay.
I don't know if he went down with them. Because I know in the Jan window, someone wouldn't. But I want pace on my wings. And I've gone for this Danish guy. But I don't know. Yeah. But did he go down, Hamza? Did he go? Yes. Did he?
I think he did. I think he did. Who are you thinking of?
Dennis.
Ramadan.
Yeah, did he?
I think he did with Charlton.
Please tell me he did, because I want pace on my wing. And no one had this guy's pace. Please.
Dennis Ramadan. Did he get relegated? Please, let's see. Oh, no.
Did he not? Did he?
I meant no for me. He got relegated with Charlton, then he moved to Ajax.
Oh, so he did.
He's in your team. He's in your team, Dennis Ramadan. What a player. And what a name to throw out the hat. That's crazy.
Yeah, that guy, you know what he was with him, even from PSV time? The guy, the speed was unbelievable. Like, he didn't, you know what he was? He didn't have the best end product, but when he was on point, unstoppable player. Absolutely unstoppable. So, yeah, Ramadan's my right winger. So I've got Dennis Ramadan. Gotta do that. Now, my central midfielder, as I said...
The annoying thing is, because of my rules, it still counts in a way. Because he played half the season when Charlton got relegated. And he left in January. But he was still part of the team that got relegated. So I can't argue against it. So by all means, he is in your team.
Thank you. And now, for my midfield, I'm going for a base guy. Someone, again, who I don't think gets enough credit. Ex-West Ham, ex-Tottenham, ex-Man United.
Fudge sake, man! No! He was my second choice for wild card as well.
Michael Carrick.
Oh.
He, again, like, even when he went to Tottenham, I was so upset. And I think Arsenal.
Oh, really no. That's my team, Brew. That's fully my team, Brew.
Left foot, right foot. And, you know, like, if you look at England, I feel like England would have done so much better in competitions had they played him at the base. But no, they went to fiddle around with Gareth Barry and all that other nonsense. But yeah, Michael Carrick. Listen, you lot, take the floor. Take the floor with Michael Carrick. Go on, do it.
I know Traps had him in his list as well next to Roy Keane. So I'm gonna let Traps take the lead because I'm not recovering from this. That was my whole team. But he was my second choice for a wild card. Traps, go ahead. What did Michael Carrick mean for you as a Man United fan? And what did he actually bring to every single title charge, title challenge and trophy that he won? Unbelievable trophy cabinet that he has at Manchester United as well. Let's hear your thoughts, Traps.
Carrick was one of them guys. He was just a no-nonsense, do the job, get the job done guy. Didn't want no accolades, didn't want no praise, didn't want nothing. He was just, this is my job, this is what I do. Passing ability, calmness on the ball, yeah. And a lot, I mean, he didn't score a lot of goals, but when he did show up with goals, he showed up with important goals and important moments. And yeah, Carrick was, for me, like Matt said, England could have done with a Michael Carrick rather than they did the sort of gung-ho hot potato midfield that they thought was just because of the names. It was just a hot potato midfield, you know what I mean? If you actually think about it. Lampard, yeah. Likes Gerrard running about, and obviously Scholes getting forced to play on the left. There was not really tactics behind it, but if a tactico came in there, I think things would have been different for England as well. So yeah, Michael Carrick, definitely a good pick. He did steal my partner, to be fair, because I thought, you know what, that is a no-brainer for me. They're both United boys.
Overall number 16 as well.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, I was going to put him in there, but, yeah, fair play.
Fair play, Matthew, fair play indeed. Michael Carrick, five-time Premier League winner for Manchester United, one of the most underrated registas in world football, in my opinion as well. The fact that he never gets the praise, and now you're seeing literally so many defensive midfielders play like a Michael Carrick did back in the day as well. It shows that football has evolved and Michael Carrick was ahead of his time as a Manchester United centre midfielder as well, because you're not seeing the quality on the ball as well. And like Trapp said as well, a lot of midfielders nowadays treat the ball like a hot potato, and they did for England back in the day when they're meant to be world superstars and world-class talent. If you're a world-class talent, you can hold the ball properly as well. We've seen someone young in Manchester United at the moment called Kobbie Mainoo, who can hold the ball properly and not just yeet the ball away like his club captain Bruno Fernandes did every other game this season as well, which is embarrassing to think about, really, amongst other midfielders as well. So yeah, Michael Carrick has been taken from me. Right, my first choice centre midfielder. I don't know who I can go for. I'm not gonna go for him because I don't really. Yeah, I'm gonna go for an odd one for this one. Controversial, but I quite liked him.
going to go four. Genie Wijnaldum in my midfield.
That's not a bad shout.
Not a bad shout.
Man, I needed the energy in my
I'm going to have to go for energy because I can't. There's not much technical ability compared to what I had as well. So Genie Wijnaldum, who got relegated with Newcastle in his first season in English football and then had a fantastic career being part of the first team for Liverpool to win the Premier League as well. So Genie Wijnaldum, welcome to the squad, which is good. Traps has already picked Roy Keane, so now he gets to pick his second choice centre midfielder. So Traps, where are you going to partner? Who is going to partner Roy Keane in your centre mid?
Do you know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking doing... Because I'm sure... Wait. I'm sure... Hold on a second. I'm sure Park Ji-sung was a midfielder at times as well.
Mostly a winger.
Interesting. Anyways, I'm going to go for... obviously, I need some... Obviously, you got Keane. Yeah, breaking it up. Making sure... Yeah, you know what I mean? Making sure the midfield is under control.
I know he's picked, God damn it. Oh, God.
So now we're going to have to look for the creativity in the midfield.
Oh.
And I'm looking at the creativity right now.
I'm smashing plates looking, or something.
It's not looking good right now. Do you know what, though, yeah? To be honest with you, I did watch, yeah, I watched one of them real. It wasn't a real. It was like a 10-minute sort of like short documentary about King Clancy. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I did. I watched it about King Clancy, and he was flipping awesome. He was.
Julian was Alvarez's awesome. Georgian uncle. God damn it, man.
But what the problem that we have. But the problem that we have with this is that not a lot of people realize who King Clancy is.
Man City fans don't even know who he is, and it's a club legend.
Or, obviously, I'm trying to win this draft. So people are going to look at King Clancy and say, "Who the fuck's that guy?" Do you know what I mean?
Your boy Big Steve would be the only one that would know, really, when you think about it. He's the only one that would know.
So I think I'm going to go tactical. Yeah, I'm going to say, you know what, Matt, this is who you wanted, but you know what, you want that for your own vibe, for your own club. I'm trying to win this draft here, so I'm going to put my creativity on James Maddison. I'm going to throw James Maddison in there.
You know what? The worst part is Traps. Yeah, as you were speaking, I was trying to throw Traps off with that. You know,
I was trying to throw him off as well. I really thought he was going to go. For him. I was going to be like, oh no, he's got the Man City player. But listen.
I've got the tactics down to a T right now. I know that the people that be scrolling and be looking through these things, they want to see relevance. They don't want to see who's great, who was a baller in 1980. They want to see who is relevant now, who is a baller. And James Maddison right now, he is hot property in the Premier League right now. So I'll go with James Maddison. Got Roy Keane behind him. Go and create for the forwards, my boy. Go and create.
James Maddison, would you say he's in the top five attacking midfielders in the Premier League? Traps, what do you think about him right now?
What, right now?
Right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think what you have to look at it with Maddison is that he spent a lot of time at Leicester. He did want to leave. The options weren't really there for him. Obviously, Spurs has come clean. Spurs is, right, of the football that they're playing, the expansive football that they're playing right now, it's a walk in the park for him right now. But obviously, he's had a few injury setbacks. And he's always been one of those guys that's always had injuries and that. But on his day, Maddison is probably one of the best number 10s in the league. So, yeah, I mean, I'd say so, yeah.
When you're looking at James Maddison as well, he's one of those players when he gets injured, you're like, oh, no, is it finally it for him? Is he going to go on a decline? But every time he gets injured, he always steps up again and again and again and again. Recently, he's had the quality around him of Heung-Min Son, of Richarlison quality, Brendan Johnson as well, Kulusevski. So he's got some firepower in his team for Spurs as well, and they've gone in for a Champions League position at this moment in time as well. Matthew, let's say your thoughts on James Maddison, and is he ready to be a starter for England as well? Because a lot of people are saying Bellingham should drop deep to allow Maddison to shine, but I want to hear your thoughts on James Maddison's future as an England player, Matthew.
Do you know what? I feel the way England's set up, it would work perfectly, but I can just see them trying to play him out on the left and get him to cut in. And
I don't think part two.
No, but you know, the thing is, but I look at him and I feel like you could easily put him with the Rice, Bellingham and him. And that three there would cause absolute havoc in the Euros. And, you know, in a competition like the Euros, you've just got to go for goals. And I don't think there's any nation that would be able to handle England if they did that. I can see Trapp smiling because of his pick. It's frustrating me.
I'm sure I'm next as well. I'm next on the next pick as well, isn't it?
Relax. Not yet.
It's all good, Traps. We're okay.
No, Maddison, honestly, set piece as well. He's a quality player. I just can't see Southgate putting him in. I think Southgate loves Jack. He loves Jack. And he'll find a space for Jack. But then Foden as well. Foden's showing magic as well. So it'll be kind of hard for Maddison to make it there. But he's a big, really important player for Spurs, though. This is for you, Travis and Suki. He's a big player for Spurs. I feel like when he's missing, they really lack something in that final third. And you look
at Mo Salah, isn't it?
You know what I mean? You look at teams like that and you feel like when you don't have a player that can really create in the 10, and you guys, same problem. I think United feel the same problem. Like, it's hard for you to score goals or create chances when you don't have that type of player. So, yeah, he's phenomenal. I wanted him at Arsenal, but obviously we ended up with Kai. But it is what it is. That's the story.
Madison and Odegaard would have been a problem for the league when you think about it. In hindsight, it would have been ridiculous in terms of what they would have gone for as well. What is ridiculous is the fact that Traps has picked James Maddison and has got three fantastic midfielders out of four so far as well. So, Matthew, second choice midfielder. So it's rather your attacking midfielder or your left. No, it's your attacking midfielder. Then we go into wingers at the same time. So by all means, Matthew, third choice midfielder. Who's your attacking midfielder? Because it would have been Maddison. Are you going to go for the nostalgia pick? The Georgian wonder kid before Kvitcha Kvaratskhelia.
I love Kincladze and that special goal he scored as well. But there's also another player, 1996-1997 season from Northeast, if I'm not incorrect, a Brazilian guy who was also good. So I'm stuck between the two and which one I really want to do. Damn. Do you know what? We're going to do it. I'm going to go with Jorginho. Jorginho.
Jorginho is that good for you yesterday? You still got him on the brain and that, yeah?
He needed to get him on the team, which is crazy.
Now, do you know what? The reason why I'm going with Jorginho over Kincladze, I feel like even though it's nostalgia, I think a lot more people remember Jorginho than Kincladze. And Jorginho was fantastic. I think when Brian Robson signed him, it was one of them where he's come over to North East. Everyone's like, well, who's this Brazilian come over? But he was phenomenal that season. I think he was close to winning an award that year as well. I think I'm runner-up or something like that. So I'm gonna put him. And then obviously he moved after that. He went to Atletico, I think.
He went to Spain.
So, quality player. And I feel like he fits what I want. I've gone with the base of Carrick. I need someone in that position. Someone a little nifty player. Couldn't get Maddison. So I've gone with Jorginho. And just don't affect the rest of my last two players, guys. Please. This team, I've got it nearly complete. Okay?
It's a great team. Everyone's got some good teams on here as well. But this is where in my opinion, this is where I win or lose the draft. And I think it's not going to be it. The strikers is where I think I'm going to have to win it, which will be quite fun. As well. So I've got Shaqiri in my team. I've got Wijnaldum in the team. And I'm going to have to go for... It's not a great deal of play. I'm not going to go for some boring player like... I don't even want to say his name because you may use him later on as a winger because he played as a winger. So I'm not going to mention him at all. For variety, I'm going to go old school and I'm going to go for Nicky Butt, former Man United player, winner. And there are other passion merchants in this team that I could have picked, but I didn't want to pick. So I'm not going to pick them because you're looking at them and you're like, can you really back case for these people? Really? And I'm like, nah, not it for me. I'm talking about the Mark Nobles, the Scott Parkers, talking about someone like Joey Barton as well. I'm like, do I want them in my team? Not particularly. They got relegated. They were decent, but not it for me as well. I remember Nicky Butt was an England international, consistent player for England and for Manchester United back in his heyday. Treble winner with Manchester United. Played in the Champions League final as well against Bayern Munich respectively. So by all means, I'll happily have Nicky Butt in my team as well. Right then, left winger for me, first choice. Traps has taken Joe Cole. This is painful. Oh, where am I going with this one? There are some good left wingers, don't get me wrong. But if I'm going to go for a left winger, I need someone who can actually bring an X factor to this one as well. Shaqiri's got a lot of technical ability. He can shoot. He can give some acrobatics. It's perfectly fine. But if I need an X factor on my team, there's only two players I'm picking. There's two players I'm picking. So by all means, my one of my favorite players isn't going to get picked because I should have picked him, but I didn't. So sorry, Jason Park. But one of you guys could go for Jason Park. I'm going to go... No, I can't go for him. I'm going for the safe option. I'm following traps on this one. I'm going for Jack Grealish on my left wing, relegated with Aston Villa. The other person I had in mind, I know Matthew's thinking of him in his team, which is crazy to think about. But Jack Grealish makes it into my thing. And I'm talking about Aston Villa, Jack Grealish, when Aston Villa... Remember when Aston Villa should have got relegated when they lost to Crystal Palace, but VAR wasn't working? Do you know how wild that is when you're thinking about
technology? Ireland, put the ball into the goal. Ridiculous. Yeah.
And then they're celebrating against West Ham on the final day. I'm just like, yeah, this is not it for me at all. But Jack Grealish ended up becoming a £100 million player and has been coached out of his individuality and his authenticity as a footballer at Manchester City as well. But I will happily appreciate Jack Grealish for Aston Villa, which is great. Matthew, left wing, where are you going with this one?
How comes I'm lost?
Because you get the left wing and you get the first choice striker. Because remember, Matthew's picked his striker as a wild card anyway.
So I've got Ramadan on the right, quick. So on my left, I'm going to go for a left-footed winger.
I know who you're picking. I know who you're picking. That's the worst thing.
And guys, he's played for... We started at Blackburn, I think, from what I remember. Started at Blackburn. Irish international, I have to. I feel like he was phenomenal on the left for Chelsea. Damien.
And for Fulham as well. What a player.
This guy, do you know when you see a winger and they take on players? None of that pass it and run off. He would go at you. And yeah, like you said, Fulham as well. Phenomenal.
Black, World League final, Black, Damien Duff, left wing. Fulham.
Yeah. Was it him? Who was his right wing partner at Blackburn? It was Emerton, wasn't it? Brett Emerton, I think.
Brett Emerton. Australian one.
So like, yeah, Damien Duff, honestly, the way he would just go at you and was phenomenal in the Chelsea team as well. Again, he was there same time as Glenn Johnson, I think, under Mourinho.
Glenn Johnson.
Yeah, he was there same. So yeah, quality winger, and I feel like he just matches with Ramadan, Duff. On the wing, Michael Carrick, the quarterback, to find them on the wings. He ain't beating that. Damien Duff for me. There we go. Lovely job.
So who's your fourth midfielder then? You said you've got Duff.
I've got four. Ramadan, Jorginho, Carrick, Duff.
That's cool. Nicely done. Right then, traps. Damien Duff has been taken. Jack Grealish has been taken. But who are you going on your left wing? Because I have some fantastic...
Jack Green is just a safe bet, which would have got we'll get people interested with the votes and that.
I'll be tagging lots of Man City fans, which was I feel like
with the team I've so far, I feel like the names in the team right now is enough for people of all ages to see and think, yeah, I want a piece of this team. So I'm gonna go with a respected. He was never the loudest. Yeah, he was never the loudest. But he's a respected player throughout United. Yeah. One of the crowd favourites, to be fair, obviously. Not a crowd favourite like that, but obviously a respected crowd favourite. But I'm going with Park Ji Sung, mate.
Excellent. Nah, I would have picked him. But I was like, I need a bit of X factor in this team as well. Because I've got Nicky Butt to play it safe. Park Ji Sung will be dominating that left wing for you. He's a fantastic player who could play left wing or right wing. Fantastic player off both feet. He was really good when Ronaldo left as well because he kind of got to shine a bit more as well, and especially when he could do defensive work, but he was a defensive winger in a way that worked well for Sir Alex Ferguson.
I was going to go for Tourette, but I thought...
Tracking back from Adel Tourette, but you got the X-Factor with him as well.
Well, obviously, you got the X-Factor, but obviously you got Keno as well, you know what I mean? So Keno, I'll just leave that with Keno, man. But I thought, you know what? With Park, yeah... Three long G Sung and that, you know what I mean?
Scoring against Arsenal, Matthew, you're obviously going to catch it now as well. What was your favourite goal that... Yeah, I'm going to do it. What was your favourite goal traps that Park Ji Sung scored against Arsenal?
You know what one it's going to be, man.
That's a lot. That's a lot.
You know when it's going to be, man. You know it's going to be the hot summer's day, man. You know.
With all the long flags.
The long summer's day, man. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about, Matt? You know what I'm talking about?
Kieran Gibbs, number 40, slipping back post.
You know what? Did he score one when we played you at Old Trafford? Was that his goal?
Scored the winning goal in one game when you just
won
the
ball under
his head.
Yeah.
Fantastic player he was as well. But it goes to show the quality he has. He was a big game player. He would score against Chelsea, Liverpool, scoring the Champions League a lot as well. Manchester United were very lucky to sign him for only £3 million or £4 million from PSV Eindhoven as well. What a player he was. The Asian market is untapped. And that's what I keep saying about Hwang Hee-chan. Fantastic player right now for Wolverhampton Wanderers, but doesn't get the hype that he deserves, in my opinion, anyway. But yeah, this is where the nitty-gritty happens now. Matthew's already picked Michael Owen, so Traps is going first with his first choice striker in his team. And then it will be me, and then it will be Matthew with his second choice, which is not it for me. Or maybe we'll have to spin the wheel again. But go ahead, Traps. First choice striker, that isn't Michael Owen. Where are you going with this one?
I'm going to go DJ Campbell.
What?
Yeah. No. I just want to see your faces, man. I don't want to go DJ Campbell. I'm going to go with Jamie Vardy.
Jamie Vardy.
Everyone knows what he's done. Premier League winner, FA Cup winner, has the record for the most consecutive goals in the Premier League.
Beating Ruud van Nistelrooy against Manchester United when he got the record.
Yeah. For me, Jamie Vardy goes in there, man. He's in there.
Let's talk about Jamie Vardy. Yeah. Jamie Vardy, again, being in the Championship at the moment, but what a play he was to burst onto the scene at Leicester City. He played on the left wing under Nigel Pearson. Claudio Ranieri ignited that Leicester City side, and Jamie Vardy was the main man up front. Had Riyad Mahrez on the right hand side, and N'Golo Kante behind him, and captain Wes Morgan right at the back as well. But Jamie Vardy as a striker, the fact he did it just after he won the Premier League, he did it in the Champions League, he could do it in the FA Cup as well. He won the FA Cup a couple years afterwards as well. Under different managers, he could play different systems. The only time he didn't really work well was under, what's his name? Claude Puel, the former Southampton and Leicester manager. A bit more tactical and possession-based, which didn't really work to system. But if you needed a counter-attacking striker in Premier League history, I personally think Jamie Vardy would be up there as well, because he could get onto any ball. That goal against Liverpool was insane when you're thinking about that. Half volley, out of the box, 35 yards, across goal. Incredible finish that he had on him as well. What a talent he was. And for him to come from the National League, from playing non-league football, from being a factory worker to being a Premier League top goal scorer, a Premier League champion, that shows wonders for me. One of the most wonderful stories in football. And I really need to see a biopic of Jamie Vardy coming soon. Matthew, let's see your thoughts on Jamie Vardy.
You know what I love about him? He never changed his style of play as he went up the leagues. You know, sometimes you just mentioned you come from lower leagues. Sometimes players go from lower leagues, they're trying to adjust their play. They try and become... dropping deep. Nah, he stuck on that last man, and that pace was unbelievable. And that's what got Leicester the Premier League title. Straight the ball in from Drinkwater into Kante, bang. You wouldn't even need to look to see where he was. And I remember we were linked to him. Do you remember that summer? We wanted him, and he said no to Arsenal. And
imagine rejecting Arsenal for Leicester, and he still wins the trophy as well while staying at Leicester as well. Crazy.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, no, great, honestly, great plan. It's phenomenal what he did, as you said, to come up. All them leagues, you come 10 games in a row, and he broke it against the team where the last person was and that had their record.
To be fair, though, if he did sign for Arsenal, it wouldn't have made a difference, because he would have won an FA Cup.
Same trophy cabinet as well, just a different shirt.
Yeah, so he didn't lose out, unfortunately.
Could you imagine Jamie Vardy under Arsene Wenger? What a crazy duo that would have
been. Weird. Yeah, I know. It was so weird.
It's like when Troy Deeney was like, oh yeah, Jose Mourinho wanted to sign me at Spurs as a second striker to Harry Kane. I was like, what? That would have been a crazy duo as well. Deeney and Mourinho would have been chaos, which is incredible as well. But Jamie Vardy, what a player. Amazing talent that he was at Leicester City. And the definition for me of hard work in the English football game. And again, you hear about the American dream. If you had to sum up the Premier League dream, you would just say Jamie Vardy, of what he could do as a footballer, as a fan, as a factory worker, to then winning the Premier League two seasons in and surviving relegation. The story is immense. fair play to Jamie Vardy, and definitely fair play to Traps for picking him as well. He definitely was on my list for this one as well. But Michael Owen's taken because Matthew's taken him. Jamie Vardy's taken. I'm going to have to go for another English striker who, for me, one of the most underrated finishers in the Premier League history. He was such a talent as a footballer as well, such a talent as a striker. I think we've had a few people on our podcast over the years who said, oh, I've met him, he's a lovely guy, I played football with him. He's that kind of guy that goes to play football in the park if he's ever around because he just loves the game. Without further ado, my first choice striker for my Premier League all-time 11, Jermaine Defoe. Let me have you in this team. I need you in this team. 496 appearances in the Premier League, 162 goals, 33 assists, played for Spurs, he played for Portsmouth, played for Southampton. He was a fantastic player, and I think he really had the quality, for me, in my opinion, to be a Champions League level finisher. He reminded me of like a Simone Inzaghi. He could score from anywhere inside the box as well, a clinical finisher off both feet. That goal for Sunderland, I think, against Newcastle in the Tyne-Wear derby was iconic, and the fact that he worked so well with Bradley Lowry as well until he passed away as well, the fact that he has that humane side and he was so willing to give up his time as well, that for me shows wonders in the quality that Jermaine Defoe has as a person and as a footballer as well, respectively. But for me, another English player that got binned off too early, in my opinion, from the England national team, because I think him and Rooney would have been a fantastic partnership if they continued playing with him. But they went for Crouch, they went for Heskey, they went for Rooney up top by himself. But Jermaine Defoe, fantastic player, and I think he has to be my first choice striker. Matthew, let me hear your thoughts on Jermaine Defoe.
Listen, East London boy like myself, St. Bon's massive big up Jermaine Defoe. He was just clinical. He was kind of like what Ian Wright gave Arsenal, that type of mentality. Like you said, in terms of kick, again, the way he played was like he was playing the boys in the park, just natural finisher. None of that, I'm trying to assist you, I'm banging goals. Let's not forget, they played Wigan at home. Was it 9-1 or 8-1, something like that?
9-0, I think it was. Jermaine Defoe scored 5 goals.
Scored 5, you know what I mean? He so little, but turning the sixpence, left foot, right foot, phenomenal striker. And
sorry, it was 9-1. It was 9-1. I didn't know ball in that one. I apologise, but 9-1.
Hamza don't know ball, people. Hamza don't know ball.
We're on 1-1 at the moment. It's not great at all, but 9-1. Jermaine Defoe scored 5 at White Hart Lane as well. What a record to have. Incredible talent he was. But yeah,
him and Owen was going to be a perfect combination, man.
They'd have been too similar, though. If you had both of them, it'd be similar passes in.
That's what I need, but you've changed me up now. I've got a different team.
Nah, so good. Traps, let me hear your thoughts on Jermaine Defoe. Was he a top talent in the Premier League, and was he someone who you thought should have gone on to bigger and better things, especially for the national team, from what you saw as well from Jermaine Defoe?
Yeah, he was massively underrated, Jermaine Defoe. He could finish. He's one of the best finishers of his generation. And again, he's another one like the likes of Joe Cole, that if the top teams built around him, he would have a much better career. I mean, I don't know if he's had a bad career, to be honest with you, but I mean, he scored many, many goals for many, many teams. He's never a sort of he's a very reliable striker. He's never sort of been one of them strikers that you said, oh, he's always been consistent. He's a very consistent striker. So for me, yeah, Jermaine Defoe was very underrated. And had he had the opportunity, like you said, Champions League level and things like that, things might have turned out different. But yeah, I agree, he's a top player.
We've picked a lot of West Ham players in this team as well. When you're thinking of all the players we've picked, Jermaine Defoe, Joe Cole, Rio Ferdinand, Michael Carrick, a lot of influence from that early 2000s Jermaine Defoe.
You have to remember at that time West Ham was pretty much probably the best academy in the country.
It was really good. West Ham, Man United were good as well. A lot of teams just didn't reciprocate that, and they didn't appreciate what academies can do for football. And when you're looking at that, that's why there's such a heartwarming story when you're thinking about it as well. All these players still having affiliation to West Ham, and they still get appreciated every single time that they go as well because of what it meant to be brought through that academy, which was incredible to think about at West Ham. So, yeah, really good point there, Traps, as well. Vardy, Defoe, Owen. We're not doing a start bench though, but I'm just naming it out because that's quite a fantastic list for first choice strikers. Second choice strikers, Matthew, go ahead, then Traps, and then me to finish off our all-time Premier League relegated 11. So, Matthew, second-choice striker. You've been waiting all podcast long to be telling us about who's going to be partnering Michael Owen. It's definitely not Jamie Vardy. It's definitely not Jermaine Defoe. Who are you going for, my friend?
So, I've been thinking, looking at it, Michael
that's Owen, that's not difficult. That's not difficult at all.
And I'm thinking about Michael Owen's strike partnerships for his career. And he's always had a strike that's like a bit more physical up top.
You're not going for him, are you? Surely not.
And I thought about this striker who's played for two Premier League clubs and Leeds, as we mentioned. And I don't think he gets enough credit, this guy. He was absolutely unbelievable. Mark Viduka. I think he, yes. Mark
Viduka. Physical presence.
Physical presence. And when I think about it, I think about ball up to him. It was hard for him to get the ball off him. Could head of the ball. And technically as well. It was not like one of them physical players where they couldn't, they're not good with the ball at his feet. Let's not forget that goal he scored against Liverpool. You remember that game? Was it 4-3? 5-3? When he did
the goal against Arsenal as well at Highbury. Big goal, that one, Rafi.
That goal made me cry. So I didn't want to talk about that one. Yeah. When he cut in... Left foot, horrible one. But again, partner, great Leeds team. And I feel like him and Owen would be a great partnership. I think that would be a great one. And a winning one at that. So, Mark Viduka for me.
Fantastic. Traps, where are you going with this one? Can't go for Mark Viduka. Who's going to be partnering Jamie Vardy up front for you?
Yeah. There's a few.
There's some ones that will look good on paper. There's some ones that wouldn't make any sense for Jamie Vardy or your team. It's just about which way you're going to go for this one, I think.
Yeah, I think I need to go with who looks good on paper.
I'm thinking that way as well. There's a player I really want. I know you're not picking him because I mentioned him a few times on previous podcasts. You're like, not so much. So I know you're not going that way. Unless you've been building up for this moment. But I don't think you're picking this player that I've got in mind as well. So let me hear your thoughts. Who's going to be partnering Jamie Vardy?
I'm going to throw in Paolo Di Canio, man. I'm going to throw Di Canio in there.
What chaotic strike partnership you have. Vardy and Di Canio up front. That's crazy when you're thinking about what they could achieve together. Red cards galore.
Jamie Vardy, Keno and Di Canio. You lot are scared, yeah?
Menace
you
FC.
Lot are scared, yeah? This team is striking fear into every team they step on. They've got technical ability in there. They've got calmness. They've got outstanding defending. They've got pure madmen in there. Pure nutters, yeah? Yeah, I'm going Di Canio, man. I'm having Di Canio.
Nah, it's a great choice as well, Paolo Di Canio. Again, another former West Ham player. As well.
Yeah.
You know what? Just to continue and just to finalize the draft as well, I'm going to pick another West Ham player as well. Someone who did really well at West Ham. There was a player I was going to pick for the paper, but I'm not going to do it for the paper. I'm doing it for myself because I think having Jermaine Defoe up front with Frederick Kanute, Mali International.
You would love Kanute, you know? How's that?
He is one of my... I was going to go for Alan Smith or Obafemi Martins. Those were my other picks that I was going to go for as well. But Freddie Kanute, man. Literally one of my childhood heroes. Seeing a Muslim man literally just pray on the pitch as well. We see it all the time with Mohamed Salah, which is great. We see what Elneny does on social media. But to see literally Freddie Kanute represent in that way was fantastic for me as well. So to have Freddie Kanute scoring goals at West Ham as well, 11 goals... in two seasons in a row for West Ham when he first joined West Ham, having young Jermaine Defoe with him as well. You've got an ultimate finisher, you've got a poacher, and you've got someone who can head the ball and leap up in the air as well. Multiple Europa League winner with Sevilla as well. So he is a serial winner in terms of trophies across European football. And again, represents Mali to the best of their ability as well, which is fantastic. So Frederick Kanute, another Fila type West Ham player when they had Fila on their shirt as well. So I'm going to have to go and throw it back for Jermaine Defoe and Frederick Kanute as well, which would be fantastic for me as well.
Big player.
Big player as well. Wonderful player as well. It's very cool to see the teams that we've made in this one as well. And just to wrap it up before we go in, I think when I'm looking back at the teams, we'll read out in a bit. I think there's a clear winner in this one as well. So I'm going to be honest about it on record, by all means. If this podcast does come out during Ramadan, I can't be lying about it as well. God is watching. and so are other people as well. Right, Traps, read out your team. Then Matthew, read out your team. Then I'll read out my team. But I think from what I've seen, there is a clear winner in this one as well. So go ahead, Traps. Where are we going with your team?
I've got in goal, Julio Cesar.
Mm.
We've got right back, Michel Salgado. Centre backs are Ake and Hoof. Left back, Robertson.
Crazy.
Midfield is Keane and Madders. Joe Cole on the right wing. Park on the left wing. Up front is Jamie Vardy and Paolo Di Canio.
That's ridiculous. Woo! That's ridiculous. Oh, God. Matthew, what have we let happen today? Let's hear your team, Matthew.
So, UC Escalon in goal. Glenn Johnson, right back. Christopher Samba and Jolyon Lescott as centre backs. Ian Hart, left back. Got Carrick holding midfield. Dennis Ramadou and Duff on the wings. Janinho in the 10 and Viduka Makalowin up top.
That's crazy as well. That's really, really good as well. My team, just to round it off, in goal, David James. Back four of Kieran Trippier, Rio Ferdinand, Lucas Radebe, and Joe Bryan. Midfield four of Jadon Sancho on the right, Jeannie Wijnaldum, and Nicky Butt in centre mid with Jack Grealish playing as a floating left winger as well, which is fantastic. Up front with hitman Jermaine Defoe and fantastic footballer, football influence, I should say, Frederic Canute up front as well. I'm not going to beat around the bush. I think Traps has won this. I think we have to be honest. That is a quality team. We will always let the audience decide as well. And I know Traps has a few burner accounts that he will use to influence
them. Yeah, I will be there.
He'll be tagging his friends in. He'll be like, nah, you know what? These guys, you have to vote for me on this one. But I am going to be honest. I think that midfield that you have, Traps, is ridiculous. The midfield is ridiculous when you're thinking about it as well. Madison Keane, Joe Cole, Park Ji-sung, of relegated players as well. These are players that have been relegated when you're thinking about it. That's ridiculous when you're thinking about it.
If you even look at the spine of the team is Cesar, Ake, Keane, Madison, Vardy.
Filth.
I think Trier, Traps midfield 100%. I don't like the defense. That's not
hating.
I think the keeper, I love Julio Cesar. Again, big keeper. The midfield is you can't be that midfield. The midfield is unbelievable. Defensively, I don't know. I think, who was it? Who again? Hoof? Ake? Who's left
Salgado back? He had a right back. And yeah, Andy Robertson, left back.
Yeah, decent. The two centre backs. No, left and right.
Listen, remember that goal, yeah? Jamie Vardy scored, but it's over the top, yeah? I think you mentioned it earlier, Hamza.
Yeah.
Over the top. Can you imagine the diag from Robertson, yeah, right now? Can you imagine?
Even the passing from even the fact he linked Madison and Vardy, FA Cup winners for Leicester as well. That was enough for me. That was crazy when you're thinking about it. Crazy partnership to think about.
You have to remember, between the likes of Robertson and Madison and even Keane, yeah, these lot have got so much supply, yeah, Di Canio, and they're going to have a field day, yeah.
The
supply.
You do Cesar playing out from the back as well when you're thinking about it.
Yeah, this team's crazy, man. I did well today.
Oh, you did excellent today. We all did fantastic, which is great. But I really need to start adding a fourth person in because Traps is getting all the good people, which is great from him. But it's really, the mind games are continuing on as well, like we've said all season long.
Listen, you know what I've learned? You see, the wild card, always go with your first choice. Don't try and play tactical. Just go with your first one.
It's true. Like if I picked Michael Carrick, my midfield would have been a lot better. Wijnaldum Carrick would have been crazy to think about as well. But it had to be done because if I never had Ferdinand, that defence would have collapsed. Yes. Winston Reid, centre-back. No, thank you. Come on now. Matthew, you were going
to
say something.
You should not forget, I managed to beat you lot, yeah? With Christensen at the back. Just remember that.
Remember, so his Danish Footballer of the Year. So it's not a half-bad shot when you think about it.
Listen, like different. Attack wins you games, defense wins you leagues, yeah?
Defense wins you titles. The draft title may be going to you for this one, Traps, as well. But we will always let our audience decide as well. I may have to create like 7 different burner accounts to even equalize for what this team is going to do as well. But I just wanted to say, everyone, thank you very much for listening. Before we end our podcast, going to give the boys their time to give their outro as well. So by all means, great conversation today. Great topics of conversation from Matthew and from Traps as well. So big up Matthew and big up Traps for their conversation. Matthew, where can everyone find you and what have you got going on for the rest of the season so far?
So you can find me Back of the Net podcast, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, all of these things, on all them platforms. If you don't find me there, just type BOTN podcast because at the moment there's a...
It's not the Bournemouth one because Matthew has
yeah, thought exactly, that. Exactly that. But yeah, you can find me all around there. And yeah, listen, just finish up the season doing a couple of videos, you know what I mean? Little top four thing, you know, best team in London, all of this and that. And obviously on Friday night, counter-attack. So it's a big up.
Big up Matthew has been fantastic for us all season long as well. And literally, the fact that he's one of the most sensible Arsenal fans has got so many crazy comments on that George Achillea video. I forgot, I don't know how you say his surname, Achilles or something. But when you've seen those videos and you're just like, oh yeah, Matt's getting violated, we love to see it as well for the content, which is fantastic as well. Nicely done, Matthew. And obviously, we can't leave the podcast without saying thank you very much to Traps, who I think, this is my personal opinion, he comes in all laissez-faire, he's all cool, he's calm and collected, he's all good, and then he just demolishes us in our tracks as well every single damn time, which is crazy to think about. But Traps, again, thank you very much for your time and your conversation as well. Where can everyone find you for the rest of the season? And I'm looking forward to at least one more draft before the end of the season concludes as well.
Yeah, man, it's always a pleasure, man. It's different here, man. This is where the ball knowledge. Yeah? If I'm not moaning about the state of my club, this is where I come to the, for the chill out zone where we talk some nice football. And it's a more lighter tone here, man. But yeah, I mean, it's always a pleasure here. You can find me on Mandem Talk, usually probably telling everyone about how bad the situation ETH. Is. Yeah, you can find me on there. I've stopped the rules because I keep getting banned for the comment. I get in the comments, I keep getting banned. So I've
stopped Matthew, stop it. Stop it with your op hating. That's not,
yeah, I keep getting reported, so I don't know. So right now I've just sort of like slowed it down a lot. But yeah, you can catch me on a Wednesday. I'll be on a Mandem Talk or Big Six Bands or something along them lines. But I'm on Never a Foul this evening. Nice. But yeah. That's just me, basically. But yeah, it's always a pleasure. Hamza, great host. Yeah, great topics, great ideas. Always thinking outside the box. You've got to appreciate this content, man, because it's good stuff.
Nah, I appreciate it. Thank you very much for both your time, your efforts, and on your nice conversation as well this evening as well. Great comments that we've got going on as well. As always, I would have posted this during Ramadan as well. So hopefully by the end of this conversation, I'll actually be able to drink a glass of water, which I can't during Ramadan. And I'm saying that because I know we'll be listening to him. Like, God damn it, why did I say it as well, which would be fantastic. But everyone, thank you very much for your time. Everyone, thank you very much for listening. Do find in our link and description. If you haven't already followed them, Traps and Matthew have been on our podcast all season long, which has been fantastic. So make sure you have if you haven't already as well. Everyone, enjoy your evening. Take care, and we will see you next time. Peace.